Dawn of the Golden Star, written and read by Fresney, Fandom Sherlock BBC, Warnings for a Megaverse, part of the Variations on an Equation series. Sarah Locke, listen to Reverend Gemma Moore Art, preach a new religion, the Golden Star, to a standing room crowd at the Royal Albert Hall. Sarah, under her stage name Sherlock Handcuff Holmes, filled crowded rooms too, when she was escaping three padlocks while upside down underwater in a locked glass box. This was merely her hobby, debunking spiritualists preying on the weary-minded. The streets were full of them after the Great War to end all wars. Reverend Gemma raised her hands and pointed up to the Golden Star on the roof of her tent. She held up her hands and spoke of a mega-love in the face of the asteroid that was coming to take believers up to Valhalla, where they would be made new Olympians with Pele and Hikalaya. She spoke of the third eye the asteroid had opened within her. She had members of the audience stand up, and she knew everything about them. This one's mother was an alcoholic. That one had just come home from a trip in Surrey. Sarah leaned down to John. I can do that. She never pretended that her alpha essence imbued her with anything other than the ability to rut, which was the most common ability in the world. One-third of the population could do it. Observation, however, was a less common ability. John agreed. You do that once a night, and twice on Sundays, with every other Sunday and Monday off. John kissed her cheek, beta and calm. You look like that kettle of mine you decided would be an excellent part of your act. John would never let her live that down. Still, she leaned into the kiss. She needed John's hard-won calm. Reverend Gemma laid her hands on people from the crowd and healed the sick. It was amazing what a little morphine in the sacred tea of the Golden Dawn Star could do for an hour or so. If they fell ill again later, it was because they didn't believe strongly enough. John squeezed her hand to hold back her explosion. One show woman to another, Sarah thought Reverend Gemma talked too much. Reverend Gemma signaled, and a small projector cast an image on the wall of lifelike dinosaurs grazing. The crowd gasped. Reverend Gemma waved her hand at the images. This is the verdant land that I promise, Sarah muttered. If she showed the rest of the lost world, they might not be so happy to go there. Reverend Gemma clearly knew they were in the audience. Why else show footage from the movie based on one of John's ridiculously overwrought books? Although Sarah had to admire the showmanship with which Reverend Gemma pulled a golden cloth off a silvery mirror in the center of the stage. A golden star was affixed to the top, and this is the portal to that land. She placed her hand upon a handprint, and a glowing light formed within the mirror. It was, Sarah was forced to admit, a very good effect. It was useless to speculate how it was being done without closer inspection. All you must do is sign away the possessions that you will no longer need and pass into paradise. Reverend Gemma pressed her palms together. Join us in paradise under the golden star. Sarah pushed her way to the front of the murmuring crowd. I would like a chance to inspect this mechanism. Her first thought was trapdoor and cudgels, but there had been no trace of that at the hall in Liverpool. Oh, Mistress Sherlock, unlocked! What an honor! Reverend Gemma bowed. I'll require no entrance fee from such an august entertainer. She turned to the audience. Don't worry. We'll be right back in a trick. Be sure to talk to the figures in the white robes, and be precise as to the nature of your holdings. Paying for the psychic energy to open the portal is not cheap. Sarah nodded to John, who was watching carefully for trap doors. Sarah stepped through the mirror, and the hall in London was gone. In its place was a cauldron of molten fire. Neat trick, isn't it? Reverend Gemma gestured at Sarah with a small Omega's revolver. I found the mirror in some poor fool's attic in Hampstead Heath. She giggled. It's actual magic. Only transports us around the planet, I'm afraid. But I do find that dumping the bodies in an actual volcano is so convenient, don't you think? She straightened her aim. Now be a dear and jump into the volcano. Mummy doesn't have all day. Sarah spread her hands and jumped. Or rather, she appeared to jump. Smoke bombs and flash paper were quite useful that way. She grappled for the gun. There was a shot, but neither of them were hit. From somewhere behind them, something exploded in a gout of fire that formed a sort of waterfall of a burning stone. Reverend Gemma might be used to volcanoes, but Sarah had spent 15 years on the circuit. She was used to close explosions. She twisted the gun from Reverend Gemma's hands and tossed it into the caldera. Reverend Gemma laughed. You are the equal of your reputation. Not like these cattle that beg for the slaughter. Join me, and we'll rule the world. The air smelled of sulfur and noxious gases. Even so, Sarah could smell the scent of an omega. It was an allure that had never called to her. Sarah whispered into that omega's face, I may not be an angel, but I am on the side of angels. Reverend Gemma laughed. There are no angels, only new gods. Don't be boring, love. Sarah wished, as they struggled, that she had studied some physical training beyond what was required to get out of a straitjacket. She almost lost her grip on the hillside, when with a stumble, Reverend Gemma fell into the firefalls with an echoing scream. Coughing, Sarah turned around, but there was no silver door. Whatever mechanism holding it open had closed with Reverend Gemma's death. That's a bit not good. She considered her situation. She walked away from the fiery cauldron down the side of the mountain, into cleaner air. It was rough going on the black stone under the hot sun. She was near the equator. Eventually, she found her way to a small fishing village, where she questioned the residents. Hawaii? That was half the planet away from London. Yes, ma'am, said the smiling Beta. I have to ask. My Rose went to San Francisco last year, and she had a framed picture on her wall. Are you Mistress Sherlock Handcuff Holmes, the amazing alpha of escape? Sarah sighed and signed some autographs. She wasn't able to send a telegraph until she reached San Francisco months later, and had been obliged to do daily card tricks to earn her way. Still, John was waiting in New York by the time the train pulled into Grand Central Station. He kissed Sarah right there in front of everyone, which was a delight. He said, don't do that again. I think, sighed Sarah into John's neck, and inhaled Beta Calm. I can promise that. She really shouldn't have made that promise, but that's another tale. The end.